Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting hands,
and our favors. We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting hands,
remembering God's favors.
You know, it seems like
we've
all been conditioned by calendars and dates. But there's no time.
Thank you, our beautiful audience, for joining us again this Sunday morning for a wonderful, wonderful message brought to you by Imam Shahid Shabab. Please, please. Join us. Give us some feedback and let us hear from you as you listen to today's discussion on righteousness is good morality and leads to a law straight path. Imam Shahid Shabazz has been teaching now for over 40 years, almost 50 years, going up and down, walking on his feet, up and down from New York, Virginia, North Carolina, Maryland, all across the East Coast here. He has been going, traveling, teaching the word out in the streets to the people, starting to reach the people of Allah. And we have our broadcast here for you now so that you can hear these teachings and also that you can comment. You join us. They are on the concerns and issues of today to inspire you and encourage you and encourage you to reach others. And now, I will give you a brief comment or summary on what the show will be about today, which is righteousness is good morality and lead to a love straight path. And after the summary, I will give to you Imam Shahid Shabazz. Muslims have been blessed with the only perfect revelation from Allah to bring themselves and others out of mental and spiritual ignorance. In this ignorance, no human being can see or understand the law's truth from falsehood. In the law's final revelation in the Quran, Allah says that when people forget Him, they forget their own souls. So most Muslims have lost their own souls. Allah says to a lost Muslim, to all Muslims, I'm sorry, when they accept faith in Him and then reject faith in Him and go on and on this course of conduct, Allah says He will guide them to the path of hell, to dwell therein forever. Islam is the only hope and protection from evil. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, He is the only protector of those who obey His truth in the Quran and follow and obey His last prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So all Muslims are commanded by Allah to be a witness of Allah's truth as Prophet Muhammad. Allah says is a witness of the best moral conduct for all Muslims. Yes, Prophet Muhammad again is a witness of the best moral conduct for all Muslims. So today, most Muslims have bad morals. They're following the ways of the world. They follow their own self-desires, which leads them to all evil. So Allah says, of all the Muslims in this world, let there arise up a small group or band of Muslims enjoining all that is good and forbidding all that is wrong. Allah says in the Holy Quran, they are the Muslims who will obtain their soul salvation. Again, we want to welcome you and greet you to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. We thank you for joining us And now I give to you Imam Shahid Shabazz.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
Walaikum assalam. Yes,
can you hear me?
I'm grateful. Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, first I want to give all humble and thankful gratitude to Allah for bringing all of us back to life in this world after he had imposed upon us a state next to death. Allah say death is the twin brother of sleep. Sleep is the twin brother of death, excuse me. When we are asleep, we are actually dead. And it's only through the grace and the mercy of Allah that Allah chooses whom he pleases to put his life back in their body for an appointed time here on this earth to fulfill his will. Not to do evil, but to fulfill his righteous will. So we want to open up this way, giving thanks to Almighty Allah, saying all praise is due to Allah, who have brought us back to life after he have imposed upon us a state next to death. Truly unto Allah is the final resurrection. I mean. And with that said, we want to open up with the Al-Fatiha. This is the opening surah of the Quran. Also, Allah say this is the seven most often repeated ayats in the Grand Quran. In other words, Allah is letting you know the Al-Fatiha is equal to almost you reading the whole Quran just when you read the Al-Fatiha. If you sincerely don't just read the Al-Fatiha, but try to practice the moral principles of justice in the Al-Fatiha. So please listen attentively with your soul and your heart, people, if you will, to receive the message of your Creator and my Creator. We only have one Creator, that's Allah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Arrahmanirrahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Yes, people, we thank Allah for this day because every day that he gives us is another opportunity to understand the purpose of life that he created us for in this world. And that purpose is not hard for anyone to understand. Look at the creation. You can find out what the human being's purpose of life is. All creation obeys Allah without stopping and never deviates from the nature that Allah created in them. A horse always, to the end of time, it's going to be a horse. A dog is always going to be a dog to the end of time. The sun is always going to shine until Allah says for it to stop. Everything Allah says he created, he says, it just swims along in its orbit according to his divine moral law. Do you know what he says? It just swims. And the heavens and the earth that Allah has created is so beautiful. And people love, most people love to enjoy the beauty and the good here in this world that only Allah can give us and gives us, but they don't want to show gratitude to their Creator. They show their ingratitude. Allah say most Muslims and most Christians and Jews and people of the world by their conduct. He said that's the number one indication of people showing their ingratitude to Allah for all his favors. And it's the ayat in the Quran says, excuse me, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Allah showers his mercy on us, not just Muslims and human race. Look at all the evil that is going on in the world, but yet Allah still allowed evil to exist. And even a lot of those that are in the evil, he's so merciful in him extending his mercy, that's time enough for them to come out of evil too. And he's extended the time for good people to continue on his good work on this earth, which is what? Freedom, justice, and equality for all humankind. In other words, we're supposed to treat each other equally good. There's no superiority, Allah say, over black, over white, or Arab or non-Arab, Chinese over Japanese. No, superiority, Allah say, for the human being is in their righteous conduct. Isn't righteous conduct? Because when we conduct ourselves righteous, we reflect the attributes, the good qualities of our Creator, Allah. All His qualities, all His attributes, our names are beautiful and have beautiful meaning and leads to His goodness. So, you know, I'm opening up this way, and Allah had inspired me to write this down here to share in particular with the Muslims, and it'll be briefly. Allah says He created the human being that we might grow and learn wisdom. See, learning wisdom, there's a process in learning Allah's wisdom. You have to grow. And what type of growth are we talking about? It's a spiritual growth. And Allah says here that when He blesses one with His wisdom, then and only then will they be able, people, to understand and distinguish right from wrong, good from evil. Allah says most people do not fear to do wrong. So Allah say He will not bless them with His wisdom to do wrong. No. And most Muslims are doing wrong today and going around trying to teach other people, and they read the Quran and they won't forget Allah's truth in the Quran, which is all truth, and they forget to practice His truth themselves, but they want to enjoin it on each other and other people. Allah said, this will not work. He will not accept this. He said, you ain't qualified to enjoin good on others if you don't practice His goodness and morality in your own life. So people, Allah, He's all wise. And the beginning of Allah's wisdom starts when people fear to do wrong. Most Muslims, you have been blessed with Allah's book of wisdom, which is the Holy Quran. If you do not follow and obey Allah's only book of wisdom, Muslims, how can you expect to be guided by Allah? This is why Allah have cursed most Muslims today. And the saddest thing about this is that they don't even know it. But their conduct shows it all the time. So Allah say, let there be a small group or band, as the sister said, of Muslims rising up out of the large number of Muslims, just a small group, and going out in the public and joining people to all that's good and forbidding people from all that is wrong. Allah said in this beautiful book, the Quran, as the sister said, these are the believers, not Muslims, but believers that will obtain their soul salvation. Allah say His righteous mission begin also with a righteous few people. And Allah say His righteous mission will, on this earth, will end with a righteous few. So don't be looking for others, a large group of Muslims, to change this world, because that's not going to happen. Allah letting you know this. And I own this other know here, Allah bless me. He said, Allah say, don't think because you say you're Muslim that Allah is going to guide you. Allah say in the Quran over and over again that He guides not the wrongdoers. This is a warning to the Muslims all over the world. Stop taking Almighty Allah's mercy for granted, because Allah said in His book, the Quran, that sin can reach a point when He will close the doors of forgiveness. You can't get back to Him. People, if you want to be saved from the hell fire, you must learn to fear your wrongdoing. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome back to Lab. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Tahid Shabbat, the reality of the Creator. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. And as you can see, we're having a beautiful discussion here today that Imam Tahid Shabbat has begun for us. And I will be calling the guest on. We do have a guest here who has been with us from the beginning. And at this point, I'm going to see if he might have any comments. He or she, I don't know. I just look at the number. Mostly, it's really the brothers who come on. We do have sisters who come on sometimes. I believe I sort of recognize this number, and I believe it's a brother. So we're going to let him say a word in just a moment here. I want to invite the others of you who might be in the audience listening. Anyone in the audience who's listening, please push that number one button on your phone and join us. Give us some feedback. Let us know your thoughts or your concerns or the issues. Now I will bring on the brother here whose number is 404-247-4713. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Abu Hamza from Atlanta, Georgia.
I'd like to speak to you today about
what Allah says about following the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I understand the dilemma many Muslims may experience centered around following the example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Believing in and following the model human being that Allah sent to mankind to show the proper attitude and behavior that pleases Him as it relates to how we respond in various real-life situations means to give up doing what you have always done. It means to stop pleasing yourself by doing what you always did to address a problem. If you always do what you always did, you will always get what you always got. We're talking coping skills and lifestyles here. Do we continue using the satanic-based coping skills we learned from our past, or do we develop a new personality, and instead of pleasing our prior gods, we develop a new way of life to please Allah? The pages of the Quran and Sunnah provide conclusive evidence of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the soundness of his message, the Holy Quran. It is therefore necessary to believe in him and confirm what he brought. Allah says, believe in Allah and his messenger and the light which he sent down. This is the truth, and the whole of human history testifies that the real cause of the destruction of the nations to which Allah sent messengers in the past has been their not believing the messengers and their denial of the hereafter. You should not insist on meeting the same doom by following their examples, but you should instead believe in the guidance provided by Allah and His messenger in the Quran. Here, as the context itself shows in the words, the light which he sent down means the Quran. Just as light itself is clearly seen and reveals everything that was hidden by the darkness around it, so is the Quran a light which is based on the truth and which makes that truth self-evident. In its light, man can clearly see and understand every problem that he cannot solve nor understand exclusively by means of his own knowledge and intellect. Anyone who has the light can clearly see the straight path of truth out of the countless crooked paths of thought and action, and he can follow the straight path throughout life in such a way that at every step he can know where the crooked bypass are misleading to and where the pitfalls of destruction are located on the way from what is the path of safety and security among them. Allah says, "We sent you as a witness and a bringer of good news and a warner so that they might believe in Allah and his messenger." This is in Surah 48, verses 8 and 9. In Surah 7, Allah says, "Now mercy has been assigned to those who follow this messenger, the Ummi prophet, whose mention they shall find in the Torah and the Gospel. He encourages them to follow virtue and forbids them from evil. He makes pure things lawful for them and impure things unlawful. He relieves them of their burdens and frees them from the shackles that bound them. For this reason, those alone who believe in him and support him and succor him and follow the light that has been sent down with him shall attain success. O Muhammad, say, O mankind, I am a messenger to all of you from Allah, to whom belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. There is no deity but he. He bestows life and ordains death. So believe in Allah and his messenger, the Ummi prophet, who believes in Allah and his commandments. Follow him. It is expected that you will be guided aright." That's Surah 7, verses 157 and 158. Here the use of the word Ummi, which may be unfamiliar to some, for the whole Prophet is very significant. This title was used to break the national pride and arrogance of the Jews who called the non-Jews Ummis, Gentiles. In this respect, they were so arrogant that as a nation, they refused to speak of acknowledging an Ummi as their leader. They were not ready to concede basic human rights to the Gentiles. They justified their immoral behavior saying, "We are not to be called to account for our behavior towards the unlettered Gentiles." This is Surah 3, Ayah 75. That is why Allah has used the word Ummi before prophet, as if to say, now your salvation solely depends on following the Ummi prophet. If you follow him, you will receive a portion of my mercy. Otherwise, you are doomed to the same wrath to which you have been subjected during the centuries of your deviation. Belief in the Prophet Muhammad is therefore a necessary obligation for every individual, Muslim or non-Muslim. Belief is not complete without it, and Islam is only valid with it. Allah says, "Whoever does not believe in Allah and his messenger, we have prepared a blaze for the unbelievers." Surah 48, Ayah 13. Abu Huraira said that the Messenger of Allah said, "I was commanded to fight people until they testify that there is no God but Allah and believe in me and what I have brought. When they do that, their blood and their property are protected from me, except for a right they owe, which is zakat. Their reckoning is with Allah." This is in Muslim al-Bukhari. I'm going to be finished in just a second. To believe in the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to confirm his prophethood and Allah's message to him, and to support him in all that he brought and said. Corresponding to the confirmation of the heart is testimony with the tongue that he is the messenger of Allah. The combination of confirmation in the heart with articulation of that testimony on the tongue constitutes belief in him and confirmation of him, as has been related in a version of the hadith above from Abdullah ibn Umar. "I was commanded to fight people until they testify that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." Let me give you an example of the type of attitude and behavior change that the Rasul they were selling brass. There's a traditional story that one of the next door neighbors of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca was a person who could every day came out and threw garbage on the doorstep of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of you know this story. And every day the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would greet this man, and the man would be rude and disrespectful to him. The companions of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to cut his tongue out and cut his head off, but the Rasul stopped them and said that maybe one day he'll become a Muslim. And this went on for a long period of time. And then one day, the Rasul came out of his house and there was no garbage in front of his door. So he thought maybe, and this happened a couple of more times, and he thought maybe the man was sick or something. So he went next door and knocked on the man's door. And sure enough, he was in there and he was sick. And the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam helped him to get better. And the man came to Islam. Now, most of us would take the advice of the companions of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and try to cut his tongue out. But the Rasul's mission was that he was a warner, and he brought good news and a light of the Quran that would help people to get over their sickness, the sickness of listening to the shaitan. And so it's necessary that we as believers take on some of the characteristics of the model human being that was sent to us in the person of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this will go a long way towards making this life that we live a better life and make people understand that Allah is the God and there's no other. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And we thank you. We thank you for the clear recitation and information from the past, because Almighty Allah, the Most High, He don't change. Allah say in the Quran over and over again, you will not find any change in my ways. And He says this, break it down and say, you won't find no change in my ways of dealing with the disbelievers, the hypocrites, or the believers. He breaks them down in three categories, you see. And He said a hypocrite is equal to an unbeliever. So if you're a Muslim and you consciously practicing hypocrisy, then Allah said you are equally an unbeliever. You're not a believer in Him. You are equal as an unbeliever. So we have this here today, because as the Imam was putting it so eloquently and beautifully, Prophet Muhammad, there was another story I want to relate briefly, where he was a merchant. He worked for himself, like I do. I'm trying to follow his sunnah, his example, best I can. As the sister said earlier, traveling all over the place. And then got shot at, cursed out, and you name it. I couldn't even begin to tell you all the stuff that happened to me in 4 to 5 years. But the point is this right here. How do Allah want us to deal with situations like that when people are treating us ill, and we haven't did anything to them? They're just treating us ill because they don't like the good life that Allah has revealed in the Quran to us. They don't like for us to live that life. And so this particular lady, she was a Jew. By faith, she was a Jewish lady. And Prophet Muhammad took this certain path or route that he would go to work. And he took that frequently. And this lady would throw stuff out that wonder at him. I understand it to be a fact that she even urine, she threw that out on him. And so she would curse him and call him all kinds of, you know, foul names and curse Allah and everything. And as the man was saying, I was blessed to make a CD called The Purpose of Life. And I said that this is why Allah chose this man as the model of best human conduct for all people, because most people don't have the strength to do that right there. You understand? Like the brother said, most people would retaliate by cutting the man the head off and killing him. But tolerance, Islam, the Prophet Muhammad represents the greatest model, not only of good morality, but of human tolerance for people who don't understand the truth and don't understand their creator like he did, we do. We're supposed to tolerate people. So this lady did this for a while. And one day, the Prophet Muhammad went through this, went by the same path, and nothing happened. No, nothing thrown on him, no cursing, he didn't hear nothing. So this man, he went and inquired, like the brother said, about the man, about this lady. And someone told him that she was sick. Other people told him she was sick and ill and in the hospital. Prophet Muhammad went to the hospital to visit the lady. And when she seen his face, her face lit up with the light of Allah. She couldn't believe a man that I hate so much because of his religion, his faith in Allah. He came to visit me, and I'm his worst, one of his worst enemies. She took the Shahada right there on her sickbed and became one of the most notable Muslims, honorable Muslims in the history of Islam. So I got this right, said that, and what you said, Imam, and this right here is befitting for that of the Prophet Muhammad, what he said too, prayers and peace be upon him. I want you people to know when the brother says, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I don't speak Arabic fluently. It doesn't matter. It's getting the message out, understanding what you're saying. And Prophet Muhammad said, peace be upon him, when your good deeds pleases you, people, Muslim, and your bad deeds displeases you, he said, then you know you are a true believer in Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum Assalam. You're listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shaheed Shabbat, the reality of a creator, which is brought to you every Sunday morning in Shalom at 12 p.m. Now, some Sundays we are human, there are things that come up that are not in our control at the time, and we cannot make the broadcast, or we have to schedule it for a later time, which we do try to do. And sometimes, like last time, that you need the Lord. So we will be here the most Sundays. This is basically the scheduled time for our show. 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We come on Blog Talk Radio. So invite your guests, invite others to come also to listen in. They don't have to talk, just to listen in. And if they have any comment to make, as I always tell you who are listening in, push that number one button on your phone. Push number one and let us know your concerns, what you think. Let us hear from you. And we would be glad to have you come on and give us some feedback. And now, again, we will hear from, as only one light is showing up. Now, people, how you get on is through the switchboard when you push that number one button. So you might put on, you might not. Sometimes they will put you on, most times they put you on. But there are times when they don't put you on for one reason or another. Could be something happening in the technical room with them. But if your light does come on and it shows up on the switchboard here where I can see it, then I will have you to come on and give a comment. And sometimes there might be guests who are put on the switchboard and don't want to talk. In that case, you don't have to talk. But if you have anything to say, please push that number one button and your phone number will show up on in the switchboard, on the switchboard. And I will definitely have you to come on. And now I'll give it to you again. Look at the brother, this 404 number again, another chance to be able to give us more of the beautiful message and information that he's brought to us today. That's our imam from Georgia. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah. The obligation to obey the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the obligation to obey the Prophet, belief in him demands it. Confirmation of what he brought requires obedience to him, because this is part of what he brought. Allah says, O you who believe, obey Allah and his messenger. In another, and that was in Surah 8, Ayah 20. In another surah, Allah says, say, obey Allah and obey the messenger. Surah 24, Ayah 54. In another one, he says, obey Allah and the messenger, and perhaps you will be shown mercy. Surah 3, Ayah 132. Whoever obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. Surah 4, Ayah 79. Take what the messenger brings you and leave what he forbids you. 59:7. Whoever obeys Allah and the messenger is with those whom Allah has blessed. Surah 4, Ayah 68. Tell them, every messenger whom we have sent must be obeyed, because Allah encourages this. When they had wronged themselves, the best thing for them would have Allah's forgiveness for them. Most surely they would have found Allah forgiving and merciful. Nay, O Muhammad, by your Lord, they can never become believers until they accept you as judge for the decision of the disputes between them, and then surrender to your decision with entire submission, without feeling the least resentment in their hearts. This is Surah 4, Ayah 63 to 65. It's hard for us to change our behavior. It's hard for us to change our attitudes toward things and our understanding of things. But it's necessary, because we have been dominated by the shaitan. And in order for us to relieve ourselves of that burden that the shaitan has put on our mind, making us feel uncomfortable, indecisive, unsure, doubtful of ourselves and doubtful of who Allah is, it's necessary for us to start changing our attitude and behavior and taking on a more pious way of doing things, and do what the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Get up and pray tahajjud in the morning. Pray at night. This is one of the things that he did constantly. And we should try doing that and asking Allah to make us better. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. And very beautiful reminder to us, Brother Imam. You know, we need to understand if we were to change our own ways that are not pleasing to Allah, and if we want to be a model or example for the world, we must have good morality, and we must strive for moral excellence. Prophet Muhammad represents the best of all human beings in his moral conduct, the way he conducted himself. And even his enemies, as we were talking about, they became the man's friend, and the man didn't fight them with evil with evil. I want to share this briefly, too. There was a town that Prophet Muhammad prayers and peace be upon him, went to Kautaris. It was right outside of Mecca where he is, his home city. And he went there to preach and teach the people. And they sick the children out on them with stones. And they the children start stoning them with the stones. And they stoned him so much, he almost, he was bleeding so much. Blood was coming out of his sandals. And he was bleeding so much, he almost just passed out. And Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, said to his prophet, he asked him, he said, do you want me to destroy them for doing this to you? And Prophet Muhammad said, no, Allah, I don't want you to do that, because later on they might become Muslims. And guess what, people? Later on, that whole city became a Muslim city. So we cannot ever underestimate the power of Allah. Allah is all-powerful. Allah can turn what we think is evil into good. Allah says here in the Quran, it's Surah 4, Al-Nisa, and Ayat 173, Allah said, but to those who believe and do deeds of righteousness, he will give their due rewards and more out of his bounty. But Allah says, those who are disdainful and arrogant, Allah will punish them with a grievous penalty. Nor will they find, besides Allah, in it to protect or help them. And then Allah goes on in Ayat 174, Surah 4, O mankind, truly there have come to you a convincing proof from your Lord. For Allah has sent unto you a light that is manifest, clear. Then those who believe in Allah and hold fast to Allah, soon will Allah admit them to mercy and grace from himself and guide them to himself by a straight way. So people, as we can see, the talk has been centered around conduct. I do want to make this analysis right here. I like to use this because it's clear and it's so beautiful. Now, we know in school, you can be passing in all your grades, English, spelling, math. You can be passing in everything, all your grades. But if you're failing in your conduct, guess what? You fail that year. You get held back. You can't move on if your conduct is bad and you just got your homework. You know, you did the it sort of reminds me of practicing ritualism. You go into all the rituals of trying to pass that year, and the rituals would be your study and your homework. You got to go through that. And you got to put in your homework in order to pass the test. So when the test comes, you'll be able to pass the test. So this is the same way it is with Allah, the Most High. He put us down here to test us to see which of us will be best in conduct. And Allah, the Almighty, say in his final revelations in the Quran, Allah says that our conduct, when people see us, our conduct, I said it before, but I want to come from Allah. He says our conduct should remind people of him. We don't have to say a word. And Prophet Muhammad, his actions is what drew people to Islam, like the Imam and myself saying. His actions, the way, and this is the ayat Allah revealed based on what we were talking about, his conduct. Allah says in the Quran, he says, a Prophet Muhammad he revealed this to him to teach us. He said, repair evil with what is better. And Allah said, if you do that, then will those between whom hated you because of your faith, Allah said, I will make them become as if they were your intimate friend and companion. But he said, no one will be granted this such goodness like the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unless they practice self-restraint. He said, none but persons of the highest good fortune. So you see, conduct is everything in this life for us people, because we are like in a school. We are in a school. See, most people think when you say school, academics, formal knowledge. No. The school we are in is the school of life on this planet Earth. And in order to pass your grades and be blessed by Allah to elevate or to graduate more and more until you graduate all the way back to home to Him in His eternity, you have to pass these tests. And the only way we can go past the tests and trials and tribulations of this life, we have to, as the Imam said, be humble. We have to be forgiven. Allah even tells us that as Muslims, to forgive those who don't worship Allah, who don't even look forward to meet Allah. Allah says forgive them too, because Allah says I'm the one to judge people for the good or the ill that they do, not you. Allah says the Muslim's job is only to exemplify the best moral conduct and to enjoin people to all that's good if it's numbered through their conduct. And Allah says let there be no compulsion in deen or religion. Allah don't want us Muslims to compel no one to accept Islam. Allah says even when we go out to do da'wah or spreading the propagating Islam, spreading Islam, He said we shouldn't look for people to appreciate us doing that, bringing His truth to them, nor look for people to convert to Islam just because we come to them. Only Allah can touch a person's heart. And if that person's heart is for Allah, only Allah can bring them back to His straight way. We can't do that with our children, with our husbands, with our wives. We can only thing we can do is pray for them and pray with them. But each of us are responsible to obey Allah, our Creator, as individuals. And then my conclusion for this time, at this time, Allah say our birth is as an individual soul, our creation. He said, our death is as an individual soul, we die by ourselves. And He said, our resurrection and judgment is in no way but as what? An individual soul. So don't take it lightly, people, looking around at other Muslims, other people, and talk about what they do. You have to look at yourself. And Prophet Muhammad, peace and peace be upon him, said the greatest struggle or fight a person got against evil is not the Satan, but it's against themselves, following their own false, ungodly, selfish desires. That's the door that opened up the Satan and his followers, the evil jinns, to come in our life. And like the brother said, most of the people done did that, so this is a jinn world now. Satan and his jinns, they run this world now. You got a handful of true believers on this earth, but the majority of Muslim, Christian, Jews, whatever you want to call yourself, look at their conduct. If you think I'm saying this on my own, look at the conduct of the majority of people every day. Look around the world. Listen at the news. Look at the news and see what's happening every day. This world is like a hell. It's a simulation of hell, because see, in hell, there will be no stopping of the torments that you will receive if you go to the hellfire in the hereafter. And the punishment will be in all kinds of horrible ways, equal or more to the horrific things you see people doing now. I was talking to somebody the other day, and this was unheard of before we was brought over here from so-called Africa, as slaves by the European. You will never hear tell of African-American people committing suicide. You will never hear tell of African-Americans, a lot of African-Americans being gays and lesbians. You will never hear tell of African-Americans are killing their own mother and father, cutting their heads off. Well, now African-American people have taken on the wave of the Shaitan. And I say this about the African American people in particular, because the African American people is the people that the Brother Imam spoke on, I think, a couple of weeks ago, in the Prophet Muhammad's last sermon. One of the things that he said is that he told all the people that was there present, peace be upon him. He said, I want you to take this message back to those that couldn't make it here, and I want you to instruct them to take it to those that they know. And he said, may those who get the message last that I'm giving you today understand it better than those who are getting it right now while I'm here. And that people, you can study scripture and ask and scholars, that people, if you study history correctly, is none other than the black man, so-called black man and woman of America. We, of all people in the world, was cut off from our complete roots of Islamic history. Our history, they brought 100 million slaves over here on slave ships over 500 years ago. And when they finally got the slaves to the shores of North America and Virginia around this country, South Carolina or whatever, it wasn't but about 20 million. What happened to the 80 million? They jumped off the ship and they killed the rest. The European killed the rest. And, you know, so we have to understand as a people, too, I'm talking African Americans now in this portion of the talk. Yes. If we want to save ourselves, we're not only our people that Allah have chosen to exemplify the best moral behavior. Well, check this out. When you treat a people the worstest of all people, the people that we've been treated in the most ungodly and the worstest of ungodliness by the European or so-called whites. And yet, still, we remain a people that is forgiven of them. We're the most forgiving and loving people on the planet Earth. But our problem is that we've been cut off from our Creator, Allah. So, therefore, the people in power that we think is in power, because Allah have all power. They ain't got no power. President, nobody else. We think the people in power that got money and all of this, lots of money and wealth, material wealth, we think that we ought to follow everybody. And African Americans, in my conclusion, people, this is your downfall, and it will stay your downfall to the day you die and you're resurrected for judgment. You got to stop trying to want to be a Arab. Stop trying to want to be so-called white. Stop trying to want to be a Jew. Stop trying to want to be anybody else other than who Allah created you. Huh? And Allah created all people to be Khalifa, rulers in this earth, caretakers on this planet earth, not people destroying themselves and destroying his creation down here as most people are doing. So people, the example of Prophet Muhammad is very, very deep. And as the Imam said, it's not just for Muslims, this life example, it's for all people. And in my conclusion, I'm in my 60s. That's been around a little while in all the hell African Americans call here. And one of the things we were taught that's so powerful right now is that two wrongs don't make a right. So Prophet Muhammad represents that to the epitome state. He knew that two wrongs wouldn't make a right. Allah, he knew that Allah said, repair evil or fight against evil with something that's better than evil. And you fight against evil with evil. You're using the tool of evil, so evil got you caught up, and it's going to destroy you. So Allah said, repair evil with his goodness, with his righteousness, and with his kindness, and then he'll make your enemies become your friend. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shaheed Shabab, the reality of the Creator, and we want to thank you for joining us. I did see another number that came up that sort of familiar. But I guess that person has something else to do. Well, sometimes they're taken off because I notice even the person drops. Usually they'll let you know if someone has gone all together or not. They'll show you in the switchboard. But since I didn't see that, I assume that the person's probably still in the audience, but it's been taken off the switchboard to express themselves. But we want to thank you, beautiful, wonderful guest this morning, for joining us. And again, to for those of you who are listening, yes, you are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Chahi Chabab. And today's discussion is righteousness is good morality and leads to a law's straight path. So that's a heavy discussion. And wow, we could talk forever on it, really. I noticed one thing. I noticed yesterday there was a brother and sister I had met, and they are the brother wanted to let him know that he was a Muslim, but he was a Mormon or something Muslim, you know. And I let him know that that he believed in Allah. So I said, as long as you believe in Allah, the Almighty God, the one God, and our brother, that's it. See, that's you know, Allah's the best Lord. So anyway, the brother went on to well, the brother started a conversation with another brother, and I started the sister. And then he comes over and asked me, could he ask us the questions? Were we talking about any brothers? And I told him, brother, that's an insult. What do you mean? You know, this is a conversation between men and sisters. So he did apologize and all, but it shows us how confused we are. And so we want to understand that we are all one, and we must strive to please the Lord by following His word only, not getting mixed up with the ways of this world, as most Muslims are today, as Imam Chahi Chabab and the other Imam has discussed. One interesting thing, too, is the weather now. They used to talk about the end of time, you know, and one big sign would be the change in the weather. So you wouldn't have the summers from the winter. Now, so far, we have had little indications of that. But this year, just this week, and I think it was yesterday and today, snowing. I'm not a little snow. Big snow in Colorado, 2 feet, in Montana. Okay, those of you who are gods, who believe in idols, who believe in yourself as gods, why did you allow it to snow? You know you don't want it to snow in the summertime. Hey, you want to get out. You want to join in the go swimming. Go to that beach. Enjoy yourself. You're not looking for any snow this late up in the summertime, especially. And at the end of June almost. So what about that snow if you're some god? then people, that's a warning sign, too. Law letting us know that he's here. He's not taking his foolishness from us anymore. We need to try to get on the straight path, clean up our acts, and stop facing reality. If we don't know who our creator is, we need to be searching hard to find out. And now, again, I'm going to allow for, I think we have about 30 minutes left here. I'm going to allow for our imam from Georgia to come on and give another comment this time. As the other member has dropped, so I will. I planned to call that person on, but I don't see the number up here. I suppose they're still in the audience. All right, ma'am, from George. Excuse me, brother. I can't remember your name. Don't be allowed to get
Abu Hamid.
Muhammad. All right.
I'm Abu Hamid.
Yes, that should be very easy to remember, definitely. I guess I really wasn't paying close attention. I don't know. I have so much in my mind sometimes and trying to remember and say so much that I don't really concentrate and focus as I should. So I'm working on that. We're so thankful to have you on, brother, and the beautiful message and information that you're bringing to us from the Quran, which is so necessary. You know, thank you a lot for your support. Now we will allow you to give us more of that good information.
You know, we pray to Allah for different things to improve our condition. But Allah says in the Quran that He will not improve the condition of anyone until they improve what is in their heart. You have to change your heart from a hard-hearted to a soft-hearted person in order to receive the assistance from Allah. And the position of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is clearly defined. The Messenger does not come from Allah so that the people should simply acknowledge Him as a Messenger, and then they continue to follow whatever they like. The Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is sent with the sole objective that the way of life brought by him only should be followed instead of all other ways. And the commandments brought by him from Allah only should be obeyed instead of any other commandments. If anyone does not acknowledge the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this sense, his acknowledging him merely as a messenger is meaningless. The commandment contained in verse 65, which we read earlier, was not meant to be confined to the lifetime of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it was to hold good to the last day. Whatever the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, brought from Allah, and whatever way of life he followed and practiced under Allah's guidance and inspiration, shall remain the final authority among Muslims forever. And the acknowledgement of that authority alone determines whether one is a true Muslim or not. According to a tradition from the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "None of you can claim to be a believer unless he subordinates his desires and lusts to the way that I have brought." Also in verse 65, they have been admonished to submit gracefully and sincerely to the way of life brought by the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to subordinate their desires and interests to his decision. In this verse, they have been warned that they cannot sacrifice even their small interests in following the Islamic law. They can never be expected to make any bigger sacrifice. If they were asked to sacrifice their lives or leave their homes in the way of Allah, peace be to Allah, they would then discard totally the way of faith and obedience and follow the ways of disbelief and disobedience instead. It's necessary that we submit ourselves. This is what Islam is, submission to the will of Allah. If we do not want to submit, we want to hold ourselves straight and tall and strong and stiff and unbending, then we are not of the soft-hearted ones like Ibrahim, alayhi salam, and all the rest of the holy prophets and messengers that Allah has sent to us. But the Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, has had a strong following for over 1,400 years. And we are among the last of the Muslims from his prophecy. There are no others. This is the last time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send a message and a messenger to be followed. Those who love Allah will follow His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will follow the Messenger of Allah. Because to obey Allah is to obey the Messenger. To obey Allah is to obey the Messenger. To obey Allah is to obey the Messenger. And that cannot be said too often or too much. We have to submit ourselves to doing things the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to do. That's what a khalifa is. Khalifa is Allah's vicegerent, his vice president. is vice chairman in charge. And we have to follow his lead in order to fulfill that part of our existence. So are we going to be among the people who fail, who are doomed to the fire? Or are we going to unstiffen our back, unstiffen our mind, unharden our hearts, and become Muslims and believers truly? That includes myself, because I'm not a paragon of virtue. I'm not the best Muslim that ever did it. I'm trying to be a Muslim. And in order for me to be able to do that, I understand that I have to relinquish some ways that I have learned over my lifetime to deal with certain situations in my life. And then there are certain ways that I have become comfortable with in dealing with situations. But I have to question myself. The other day, a situation happened that I saw. I was going through a Facebook page of somebody that I didn't know who was a Muslim, and I saw an article on the Facebook page that said that the CIA had apologized to the family of Osama bin Laden for killing him by mistake. And I jumped the gun, and I shouldn't have. I was wrong for doing that. But I started sending it to people and said, what should we do about this? What can we do about this? I didn't never think that maybe this was fake news. I never thought that this, because it was coming from a Muslim's web page, a Facebook page. And then one of my brothers that I sent it to sent me a response back. This article was in the Onion News. And he sent me a response back showing that the Onion News is fake news, that this is a satire of real events that have happened. And so I had to remember an ayah from the Quran that said, that talked about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is guidance for us. This is an example for us and a warning for us. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to get married to further Islam. And he had married the daughter of a chief of Bani al-Muttalik, which was a big tribe in Saudi Arabia during the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sent a person to collect the zakat, because Muslims pay zakat. Muslims who live in a Muslim country, they pay zakat, which is 2.5% of their wealth. If non-believers, non-Muslims live in a Muslim land, they pay jizya. Jizya is a tax that guarantees that the Muslims will protect them and protect their property from any outside invaders. But the zakat is paid by the Muslims. And he sent this man named Iqbar to collect the tax from the chief of the Bani al-Muttalik. And he got to the place where they lived, and he got scared. The people scared him before he even got to the chief, and he felt that his life was in danger. So he turned around and went back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him that these people threatened his life, and refused to pay the zakat, which was a lie. So the Rasul was in a congregation of people like he usually was, and everybody's telling him, yeah, let's go kill him something. Let's go and bring all our guns and shoot him and kill him, cut off their heads. They have to pay the zakat. And according to the tradition, he never did send a military contingent to the Bani al-Muttalik, but he waited. And he questioned this person, Iqba, that he had sent. And it turned out that Iqba had a bad reputation. He probably shouldn't have sent him in the beginning. But an ayah came down from Jibril, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ayah said that you must, when you get important news, that you should first check the source of that news. Is the news source credible? Is the news source truthful? Does the news source have a good reputation? And if the news source does have a good reputation, then you can entertain the possibility of believing that and acting on that. And so the Quran shows that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not a perfect man. He made mistakes. And when he made a mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an ayah down for him to correct that mistake. And he corrected his attitude and he corrected his behavior. And he went on and became successful. And we have to do the same thing. We have to check when we have an important decision to make or we get some important information. We have to check to make sure the information is credible. The information is true and honest. And I failed to do
yes.
that. I had to apologize to my brothers for sending them fake news. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, brother Imam. Excuse me. That was very informative. As the whole program is very informative. And the news that you're bringing to us is good news, and it's news that we need to hear from you as a believer in Allah and a follower of Allah / Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. However, as we bring this program today to a conclusion, a close, we want to speak on how Satan chooses his victims, and it won't take long. But listen carefully, because this is where we're at right now. And this is where the world was up until the time of Prophet Muhammad. It's coming by Allah, prayers and peace be upon him. How Satan chooses his victim? Satan chooses those who are most likely to propose a threat to his kingdom. Satan knows Allah's call on believers' lives, even before they realize or accept the call from Allah. Satan then makes a similar call, but going in the opposite direction of Allah's call. Satan's next choice is made based on your ability to enhance his kingdom. He makes this decision by observing you and examining your character and qualities. And next, are you an easy prey for Satan? Remember, Satan goes about seeking whom he can devour. In other words, Satan will take anyone, but does not give specific assignments to everyone. If a demon or jinn has not been assigned to hinder you, then you are not considered a direct threat. You are not going anywhere. You are not going to church. You do not have any leadership ability from the past. He knows that you are not doing anything for Allah. There is also very little recent history of Allah in your family life. So what Satan is saying, we said earlier, the reason that Satan got most Muslims and people in the world, it's saying to you right now, people have forgotten Allah. And as the sister said earlier in the program, when you forget Allah, you forget your creator, you forget your soul. See, Satan knows Allah. Just not to the degree that in the Quran, Allah allows Satan to say this. Satan say, Lord, I fear Allah. That's when people try to blame evil on the Satan. Satan made me do this. And even a lot of Muslims, a majority of them, talk about, that's Satan made that person do that. That's jinn made me do this. No, that is your jinn. That's your jinn. Satan don't have the power to cause any human being to do wrong. The human being has what's called a limited freedom of choice. And by having that been endowed with that limited freedom of choice, we have to choose Satan's call to his evil vanity world here, corrupt evil world, or we have the opportunity to follow Allah's call, and Allah said in the Quran, his call is to an eternal home of peace. And Allah said at that end of that ayat, who will answer my call? But most of the Muslims and people today, they're answering the call of Satan. I was sharing with somebody the other day, Allah the Most High said in the Holy Quran, he says, Satan is your enemy, so treat him as an enemy. So, you know, I just want to conclude with that and say that it's been a good program, and I hope that you all realize that time is drawing near to the end now. We don't have much longer now to really get back in line with Allah's will. You know, it's just like when you got a car, and if you don't have that car in line, that car will turn and swerve, and your chances of having an accident is almost 100% until you get them wheels in line. So it's the same way with getting back to Allah. You got to come back in line with Allah. The way to Allah is called a straight way. And the quickest way to your destination is a straight way. When you turn off and you go curve here, turn there, the trip going to be longer. But if you follow a straight path, a straight way, and when I travel, I don't do as a lot of people do. I don't be turning off. I get my food. I make sure I've been and took care of if I need to go to the restroom or whatever, and I go straight. And I get there much quicker than most people. Sometimes, same trip, an hour, maybe 2 hours ahead of them because they're always stopping. And in this world, we cannot afford to stop calling on Allah at all times. Allah said he loved those who call on him all the time. And Allah said he loved those who restrain themselves when they're angry, like Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, and he loved those who do good. So these are the qualities that you have to have, people, if you want to save yourself from this great destruction Allah finna bring on this whole world. Allah finna actually bring a mass destruction on this whole world, and there ain't going to be a few evil people dying. He's going to destroy all evil people like he did in the days gone by with the flood and Prophet Noah generation, alayhi salam. Oh, yes, he promised that he would clean the world of infection and disease and evil before he destroyed this part of his creation. He has promised to make it back right, just, and good as he created it in the very beginning of time. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Y'all listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shaheed Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. And as you can see, people, he's coming on strong. And I want both of you in the radio audience to understand that this is not a show just for Muslims. Yes, we are Muslim, and of course, we're going to come up with a discussion from our way, from the law's way. But that does not mean that we are not one human family, and the law has made us different so that we might get to know one another, not despise one another. We want to join in together. That's why we have this unity. We have this division which is destroying all humanity, and we have got to stop it. It doesn't matter who or what we call God or how we want to serve him. The main point is that we recognize that there is only one God, and that we come together to strive to bring about his way of life on earth, which we know is the best way and the right way for us to live, if we want to live. And as I was thinking, people, I was thinking also of incidents where we have those who are struggling so hard to try to assist in different ways. There are groups who are growing food because they are the warning. They said, this is time now. A drop is coming soon, and people are going to need to eat. There will be no food. Not a drop, I'm sorry, but a drop from the weather, more so than there will come a time when, like, the banks and all are going to be closed down. And if we would notice, we've been warned about these warnings, and who's bringing these warnings to us? The one we don't want to be talking about, but he's bringing us these warnings. And that's the President Trump. He's telling us he's going to do this thing, close everything down and all. And we refuse to see, hey, this was also supposed to be a sign of the time. We didn't know how it was coming. But he's saying the banks are going to be closing soon now, you know. And the banks are going to be closing. What is going to be happening, you know? So, but anyway, there are those groups who have been trying to tell us about this time that we're living in now, what would be happening, and many of the signs are showing. And so they are at least preparing the food. We pray a lot that he does not bring his drop on us. Man, but we know that he will take care of us regardless of how. They're preparing gardens all over, you know, for those who won't be able to get food and who won't be able to eat, and that's a beautiful thing. But I thought about that, and I think I said, there are so many warning signs, even in the weather, when the sun's shining on one end of the street and it's raining on the other. I'll never forget when we were coming up, there would be rain pouring down on one end of our street and the sun shining brightly on the other. So people, notice the signs. They're coming now more than ever, and especially those of destruction, destruction of humanity, mankind, everything, all kinds of things that are happening now. Man is destroyed, as my ex has said, Ma'am Shahid Shabbat said, there will be deaths and coming in numbers now, and they are. They're coming in numbers more than ever because man is being destroyed now, faster than ever. And he's destroying himself in numbers faster than ever. So we want to try to live as treat each other good, treat each other right. We can't even speak to each other nowadays. No smiling, anything. No greeting, no reaching out to help. No courtesy. Forgive me. Can I help you? Move by from somebody from the bus trying to get by sometimes. People standing all in the hour. They can move, but they have you tripping over them trying to get to a seat that's empty somewhere. These type of ill root matters that we just don't have anymore. These are the things we're talking about. It begins with self. We can't expect to help anybody else until we help ourselves. So let's check within ourselves and see that every day when we go out, think about the birds, greet them. If you got any bread, anything, throw a crumb to them. Start in ways that you might call small ways. Think about the animals. Think about every creature. The human beings on earth, our neighborhoods, clean, pick the paper up, pick the trash up, get a group together, get the children together, and let them do that. These little things that really matter, that count, that we have all gone away from. And one day, they used to be like they actually existed that way when I was coming up. All righty, Madam Shahid Shabazz, we are listening to the Sunday broadcast. I'll be Madam Shahid Shabazz, and I will bring him on again, Madam Shahid Shabazz.
Assalamu alaikum. I just want to say in my conclusion, I want to say, people, Allah say in the Holy Quran that the judgment day is near. But Allah also says in the Quran that you are being judged from the time he creates you to call you to death. You're being judged. So Allah the Most High says, seek his truth from the cradle, from your birth to your death. And Allah say, his truth is so important that if you have to leave America and go as far as China, do that. If you're going to, you know his truth is there waiting on you. Because only his truth will set you free. And this goes with really in the garden with Adam and Eve, and I'm going to be brief. That garden represents really societies. And, you know, the trees, you know, represent really the life in the society. And then and the fruit of the trees represents the knowledge in that society. So Allah told Adam and Eve, listen, when you come in this society, that tree that bear the good of the fruit of good and evil, stay away from that tree, because if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Allah didn't say you might die. He said you will surely die. Now that death, any scholar can disagree all they want. I'm still holding to this to the day of judgment. That death was a spiritual death, because the real death is spiritual anyway. So what is this saying to us? The majority of Muslims and people in the world are spiritually dead and unaware of their creator and all his goodness, because they try to mix falsehood, which is this world, this whole world is false, and everything in it is false. And Allah says so much so that people, you hear people talking about good, my good this, my good that, my good. Ain't nothing in this world good. The only good in this world and in the next life is the goodness of Allah. Ain't no human being can claim no goodness. No human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most high, supreme creator of the heavens and the earth, say all the good that happens in the life of the human being comes from him. He's all good. And he said all the bad or evil, destruction and corruption that come in our life come from our own selfish will and selfish desires. They call nafs, or false, ungodly desires. So, people, you don't have long to free yourself, free your soul from your own self. Like the brother Imam just said, self is our worst enemy. Because when we follow self, our self-will, Allah already told us, it leads us into all evil, all that is wrong. Not some wrong. And you got Muslims, so-called Muslims, they're trying to justify, you know, smoking weed, all the things that Allah has forbidden. Most of the Muslims today, that's what they're doing. You only have a handful in a figure of speech that's sincerely living every day like it's their last day, trying to sincerely follow the Quran and the Sunnah, the life example of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. Only a few. But Allah said, as I said earlier, that his righteous mission on this planet Earth began with a righteous few people. And he says it's going to end with a righteous few. Sometimes I feel so lonely. I feel like I'm the only believer in the world. Every turn, every time you step out your door, you ain't seeing true believers, people. You're seeing jinn, evil spirit in the body of people. And Allah says this is very important. Allah said when you forget him as a human being, you will fall to the Lord's depths. A moral degradation.
Yeah.
You know your moral. 30 seconds, we'll say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. There's no creator but Allah. Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad ibn Mustafa ibn Abdullah is his last prophet for all humankind. So, people, if you want to save yourself from this evil and destruction that Allah is going to sweep the whole earth with of evil, turn to Allah in sincere repentance and follow and obey his message in the Quran and obey his final and last prophet, Muhammad, who sent, he sent to save all humankind. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, look at my friend. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabbat. I want to thank you for joining us and ask you to join us again next Sunday, same time, Eastern Standard Time, 12 o'clock p.m. And we want to say to you, have a great day. And we pray that we have given you some good food, the best of food, to take back with you and to enjoy yours for the rest of the day and to share with others. Share your food with others. Don't keep it just yourself. Have a wonderful, great, and blessed day.
Okay, now.
But some